Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Get your likes in on the video. Get your comments in as well. Michael Carrick wants Elliot Anderson, but Tonali is still a top target for Manchester United. Absolutely no chance we get both, but in an either or, where do Man United go? You can't end up with neither, I would say that. Also, updates on Sesko's injury. He's out for the season. And signing of contracts. Fabrizio Romano says Carrick has signed his contract and also Steve Holland. We can tell you he hasn't signed his contract as of now. I expect it probably will be today. But look, those official announcements are getting close. Typical Man United, I suppose. Also, Bruno Fernandes getting a little bit of flack. 8 of his 20 assists have only come from open play compared to people like Henry and De Bruyne, whose vast majority of assists were in open play. Is that an issue? We'll talk about that as well. A few other bits on transfers too, and budgets, and also exits, and a few other bits too. Also, I've been asked, how would I rank Cunha's season out of 10. Maybe I'll do a few players out of 10 because I think Cunha out of 10 is quite an interesting one and I quite like the concept. So we'll definitely do that as well. But let's start off with the show. Michael Carrick will be Man United manager. It's a case of when, not if, on the official announcement. And I think that we're all in agreement of two things that Manchester United must do. They have to back Michael Carrick. I mean, this morning we're hearing that Liverpool are going to sack Arne Slot and they're looking at Nagelsmann. They're looking at Areola. They're even looking at Luis Enrique. Imagine if Liverpool got Luis Enrique. I mean, what does that do for Man United's recruitment if the manager we can't get goes to our biggest rival? I can't see it happening, but look, it's going to be a challenging summer. And United must back Michael Carrick. I think the red flags around, I mean, look, I saw a lot of people saying that his after-match speech yesterday was very uninspiring. And a lot of people have had a go about his press conferences. I don't think we should be assessing our manager on their ability to inspire in a press conference or an after-match thing. I don't think it's necessarily Carrick's thing, and he might get better at it as time goes on. But ultimately, he hasn't managed 2 games a week. He hasn't managed in the Champions League, and the job is huge compared to his CV. So what he needs is big signings. If you're an inexperienced coach and you're managing Brazil, you've got a better chance than being an inexperienced coach managing Peru because you've got better players. And that stands to reason in football as well. If Michael Carrick is an inexperienced coach at Middlesbrough with inexperienced players, obviously that job is what it is. But at Manchester United, if he's an inexperienced coach with experienced players, he's got a better chance of being successful. Look at the last few months. Bruno Fernandes, Harry Maguire, Casemiro. These three players have been huge for Carrick. Would Carrick and Holland's coaching acumen have got his top three without those three players? Absolutely not. So he needs good players. And United need to back him. Also, mentioning Bruno Fernandes, I think this club owes its fans, more importantly, but certainly people like Bruno Fernandes, who could have left last summer and could leave this summer and earn ridiculous money, they owe it to Bruno Fernandes to deliver him an opportunity to actually win something big, whether it be a Premier League or a Champions League, and how unlikely that is. They owe it to Carrick and they owe it to Bruno Fernandes to deliver top quality players. So what we're hearing this morning is that Michael Carrick wants Elliot Anderson. This is coming in from numerous sources and it's not really breaking news because United themselves have said that Elliot Anderson is their number one priority for 8 months. So Michael Carrick agreeing with that, wanting that, obviously is very good. I've seen the clips of Elliot Anderson smiling a little bit as he walked out of Old Trafford, as people said, come to Manchester United. I have a theory on that. But also reports coming out from Italy that Man United are leading the race for Tonali. Now, for me, I think this is, you can't always get what you want, you know? You can't always get what you want. And I'd be happy with either of these. I have a preference today. I had a different preference last week, which shows you that actually I wouldn't be crying if we got Tonali and Elliot Anderson went to Manchester City. And I wouldn't be crying if we got Anderson and Tonali went to Manchester City. There will be competition for these players. Like, there will be big competition. And let's not forget Arsenal. I mean, I was even looking at Elliot Anderson yesterday and I thought, why would Arsenal not try and buy him? You know, I think Elliot Anderson is so good. I was sort of thinking, well, you know, we're talking about Man City and we're talking about Man United, and why would Arsenal not go for him? So, look, I would love to get both. You can vote in the poll there. With regards to Elliot Anderson and where things are from Elliot Anderson's side, I don't think a lot of people have spoken about this. So this is from a journalist that we're quite close to. With Elliot Anderson, him doing Instagram posts about Mainoo and then Man City, and him doing little smiles as he walks out of Old Trafford, doesn't mean he's coming to Manchester United. This is just a young lad with lots of opportunity in front of him who knows he's about to make the biggest move of his career. He also has an agent. And if that agent is doing their job, you are saying and speaking regularly to Elliot Anderson saying, keep your options open. Even if you have a preference, don't kill the options, because at the end of the day, you will get a better contract out of the club you go to if you keep your options open. If you want to go Man City and Man City's where you want to go, definitely keep the door open to Manchester United, because Man City get nervous. They don't want you to go to Man United. That can be another 20, 30, 40, 50 grand a week. It can be another few million on your signing on fee. So keep your options open. You know, you playing well at Old Trafford, a club that want to buy you and walking out with a smile on your face, makes Man City nervous. Vice versa, if you want to go to Man United and it's your dream, it's not a bad idea to keep Man City in your back pocket as well. So I don't think Elliot Anderson is about to drop a hint on where he wants to go yet until they've maximised exactly what they can out of both clubs. And ideally, Forrest will want a bidding war and Elliot Anderson agent will want a bidding war as well. Whether Man United are going to enter that takes it away from what Michael Carrick wants, what you want, what I want. I think with Elliot Anderson, where we are is that we are waiting for this club to get its arse in gear and start moving on one of the three midfielders that we need. What we are actually waiting for, I do not know. But I would suspect what we're waiting for is for the player to say he wants to come to Man United over Man City. But that doesn't logically fit with what we've just said. If Man United are waiting for a player like they did with Cunha and Mbeumo to say, I only want you. And remember, it's only a year ago that the Mbeumo story sort of broke. And what happened there is other clubs were interested and he said, I'm only interested in Man United. And from that point, Man United took 2 months to negotiate a deal with Brentford. United like to move when they've got buy-in from the player, but it won't always work, because if you've got a player that says, well, I am interested in coming to you, but I'm not choosing you before the negotiations have started with my agent and my club. For example, Elliot Anderson and his agent might say to Man United, well, we do like you, but what's your offer? And Man United might go, we don't start doing offers until we know you definitely want to come to us. And they could say, well, we're not doing that because there's another club here with a bigger offer on the table. So are you matching that before we commit to you? Ah, well, if it's all about money, we're not interested. We are going to have to pay for Elliot Anderson. We are not going to get a exclusive, I just love Man United and I'll come in there and I'll earn less than I will at Man City. So what we're waiting for Manchester United is to show the appetite and desire that we as fans have and Michael Carrick has to go and get that midfielder. And we'll have to wait and see how quickly they move on that. With Tonali, I think it's quite similar. You know, you've got Newcastle who want £100 million and he probably wants £250 grand a week. So ignoring the live chat, we're just going to get belabor because he's cheap. I mean, maybe we are, but at some point it sort of flies in the face of United's strategy of wanting to reduce the wage bill and not wanting to spend a lot of money on players. There are two options in the shop, Tonali and Anderson. I think they're both very viable. I think they're both very good. I think they're both suitable to replace Casemiro. The barrier is not Michael Carrick. The barrier is not the player. The barrier is not Newcastle and Nottingham Forest, respectively. The barrier is Sir Jim Radcliffe and Joel Glazer and their idiotic wage bill structure and their inability to spend on what players are actually worth. We're going to have, you know, we need to be aggressive on this. You are replacing one of our best players in Casemiro. And I think if you snooze, you lose. I think there is an opportunity to move quickly. And I'm still lost on this news we had last week that United are going to make a big signing before the World Cup. If we want to do this deal, you've got to push your way to the front. You can't sit and wait. So, look, it's going to be an interesting few days. What we cannot do is end up with neither. If we don't get, you know, if Elliot Anderson's wearing a Man City shirt and Tonali's wearing an Arsenal shirt and Carlos Baleba or, you know, Fernandez of West Ham is wearing a Man United shirt, I think we've failed. Doesn't mean that they fail as players, but the market is so good. It's an open goal. I was speaking to somebody this morning about it. Man United are the one club in European football that needs to completely refit their midfield. It is a dead zone. Apart from Mainoo, there is nobody in that midfield. It needs a complete and utter rebuild. Any other club in Europe, reputational, ambitious, whether it be Liverpool, Real, I mean, look, Jurgen Klopp rebuilt a midfield in one summer. I've never seen anybody do it. Don't even like Liverpool, but Jurgen Klopp, in one summer, bought Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, Endo and McAllister. He refitted his midfield in one summer. It can be done. But you've got to know who you want and you've got to go and get them. You can't go, I need to refit my midfield, but then walk in with two arms behind your back. You've got to go out, fists flying, and say, aggression, this is what we want, this is what we're going to get. United just seem to be a football club that operates in the transfer market slowly and with parameters. In the sense that we don't go rushing to the front to grab what we want, we wait. And then when we wait, we go, we're not spending that and we're not spending over that. And that can be problematic. So look, overpay for Anderson, get it done. We always overpay anyway, get him in quick, says Storm. But what is overpaying on Anderson? I mean, 72% of you want Anderson and, you know, 28% of you want Tonali. But what is overpaying? It's a great question. Somebody said, what's your limit? It's easy for me. I would comfortably pay £100 million for either of them. I don't want both. I think as fans, we're not unrealistic. Like, it would be great to live in a world where you buy Tonali and Anderson. I accept we're not going to do that. Even though we're Manchester United and we should live without boundaries, I'm not demanding both. I'll just want one of them. But £100 million is absolutely the price. And there'll be people in this live chat, there'll be people in the comments, there'll be people, you know, in the wider United fan base saying it's ridiculous paying £100 million for Elliot Anderson, or it's ridiculous to pay £100 million for Tonali. But it's not ridiculous. If you live in the real world and you understand football, there are parameters around what people cost. Declan Rice went for £100 million from West Ham 2-3 years ago. Caicedo from Brighton to Chelsea, again, £100 million. So that's the price. Has the football industry crashed? You know, is the football industry on its arse, or are our teams earning more now? I mean, when Arsenal bought Declan Rice, I don't think the new Champions League format existed. So you weren't earning £100 million a year just being in the Champions League. So if anything, you could argue prices should go up. So £100 million for Tonali or Anderson, for me, that's the price. And if we've got people at United saying that's unrealistic, well, we've got bad owners, because I think that's the price. You don't pay £80 million for Baleba. You don't pay £60 million for Scott. You don't pay £60 million for Fernandez. That's overpriced. But £100 million for Tonali or Anderson, I think that's the going rate. That's what it's going to cost. That's what Man City will pay. That's what Arsenal will pay. That's what it costs. So I think that would be a realistic fee as far as I'm concerned. When do you think it'll happen? Look, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, the source we've used for the last 18 months has been very accurate. And they said last week, Man United will make a big signing before the World Cup. I logically think that's Elliot Anderson. That's a theory. I don't know who it is. I don't think even Baleba can be done before the World Cup, because I think Brighton will negotiate with us. Tonali, maybe. I don't think we're signing Tonali, by the way. I'll be very happy with Tonali. I don't think we're signing Tonali because it's been briefed three times about his gambling issue. So I think that's United trying to, you know, turn fans against the Tonali deal. I don't think we do Tonali. But Tchouaméni is still realistic. Jose Mourinho, big news. Jose Mourinho is the new Real Madrid manager. That's been announced this morning. That's good news in a footballing sense, but it's also good news in a Manchester United sense because he is going to be in that club very, very quickly. And I would say by the end of this month, we will know whether Tchouaméni is going to be part of Mourinho's plans or not. Those conversations are going to be ongoing from now. So, you know, Mourinho might say, I'll assess the team when they come back from the World Cup, which is the end of July, in which case I don't think we can wait on Tchouaméni. He might say, cash in, let's go and get Rodri and Enzo Fernandez. So I think that that's good news for us. And we've got to monitor, you know, I'm very excited. We've been doing this for many, many years. And if you are new, make sure you subscribe because the transfer window, I remember being in hotels in London talking about Lozano. I remember being on hotel balconies talking about Bruno with boats sinking and saying, oh, that's the end of that. So look, I do love the summer transfer window, but I think we do need to monitor the rest of Europe because, you know, the Bundesliga is over now and Stuttgart did get Champions League football. That makes it difficult to get Stiller. And also you've got Leipzig got Champions League football. That increases the price of Yann Diamande. So look, you know, there's a lot of things going on that we need to be monitoring that will have a direct impact on us, certainly. Let me just catch up on a few super chats. Just on Michael Carrick, by the way, somebody just said Romano said it's done with Steve Holland and Michael Carrick. What we're told is it's not done yet. It will get done, but it's not finalised yet. I think, you know, predicting Carrick will be signing his contract at some point in the next few hours or days is like saying Tuesday comes after Monday. It will happen, but it's not done yet. Why it's not done? Typical United negotiations, they're slow. You know, Michael Carrick wants to sign this contract. He would have signed it on Friday if it was the contract he wanted. But United haven't delivered that contract yet. That doesn't mean he wants more money or, you know, he wants a longer contract. It will still be 2 years with plus one, we're told. But obviously there's elements to it that they just haven't put it in front of him yet. So, you know, it will happen. But Steve Holland has also signed the contract as well. I would say on that, it reminds me of those United fans who wanted Ineos over Qatar and told us that Ineos would get rid of the Glazers by 2026. Yeah, we know you. We've got the receipts. You're full of shit. And your predictions never come true. Yeah, they told us we should all want Ineos because the Glazers would be gone by 2026. What's the date today? Is it by any chance the 18th of May 2026? Yeah, you see, people talk shit and don't think there's any consequences. We should all want Ineos because they'll get rid of the Glazers by 2026. We should all want Carrick because he'll probably get rid of Steve Holland and bring somebody in with a better style of football. Steve Holland was never going anywhere. So, yeah, Steve Holland has signed his contract as well. But look, I think with regards to the summer, we do want to see movement and we do want to see quick movement. And, you know, Bruno Fernandes is committing his future to Manchester United. Michael Carrick is the manager now. It's the exciting time. It's the Wilcox and Berarda show, isn't it? It's time to go to work. It's time to prove that you know what you're doing. Daniel Derbyshire's been a member for 66 months. You're a legend, sir. Thank you so much. Inu says, waiting to go for any of our top targets puts us at risk of other teams wanting to buy them. Chelsea will buy a midfielder for Alonso as well, says Inu. Also, Inu, thank you for the assist on this. Remember, if you're not at the front of the queue for midfielders, you will pay for it later. In essence, if Elliot Anderson signs for Manchester City for £100 million, every other deal is dictated to by that. So if you want to get Fernandes from West Ham, they might add another 10 on. They might go, hold on a minute.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Nottingham Forest didn't do particularly well. They've just sold a midfielder for £100 million. We want 50 for Fernandes instead of 40 or 60. So prices will, you know, if United are going to say, we don't want to pay £100 million for Elliot Anderson, we only want to pay 80. When he goes to Man City for £100 million, the next player you go for will have another 10 or 20 added on anyway. So you'd be better off paying the extra 20 you don't want to pay on Elliot Anderson because you're going to pay it on everybody else. For example, Belaba's price will be dictated by what Anderson goes for. So will Scott's. Everybody's price will go up. We saw it with Mbeumo. By the time we did the deal with Brentford, we paid 10 million more than we wanted to because João Pedro, Alanga and a few other people had gone for between 50 and 60 million. And Brentford quite rightly said, well, we think Mbeumo is worth more than that and you're desperate to sign him. So we paid a little bit more. Patrick Lynch says, we can't be a top team wanting top team results and then argue we're overpaying for top quality players. Deep down, fans don't want long shots or developing players. We don't have the patience. Mate, I agree with you, Patrick. I mean, I must bring this in. I seen a load of people yesterday saying we need a left winger because Dorgu's clearly not a left winger. And I was like, oh my God. And this is where Patrick is right. If United think they can buy projects and this is going to work with this fan base, they've completely and utterly misunderstood this fan base. There is no patience. And the only people responsible for this are the owners. It's not fans. It's the owners. Our moods are dictated to by the owners. If they want to sack managers after 12 months, then they are going to lower the patience of this threshold of this fan base. Now, Dorgu in January plays against Arsenal and Man City on the wing and he's brilliant. He comes on for 20 minutes against Forest, doesn't have a good game and he's not a winger anymore. If that's not an evidence of the lack of patience in this fan base, I don't know what is. How is Dorgu no longer a winger because of a bad 20 minutes against Forest coming back from an injury? But it's all over social media. We need a winger. Dorgu's dog shit. He's definitely not a winger. And I'm like, hold on a minute. You're absolutely glazing him in January when he was fully fit. He has a rusty 20 minutes against Forest and he's not a winger anymore. But no, I'm not criticising the fans, you know, people are free to make their own minds up, but it's the lack of patience. There's no patience. If this board think Carrick loses two games and he doesn't lose the fan base forever, they're idiots. I don't even know what percentage of our fans actually want Carrick anyway, but let's say it's 70%. If he loses a couple of games next season playing this Ollie ball, that'll go down to 50% very quickly. And when you lose the fans, you lose the fans. So they absolutely need to realise that if they're building projects, this is going to fail. There is no patience in this fan base for projects. They need to go and get players that hit the ground running. Absolutely. Great point, Patrick. James says, Carrick's job will be determined on his favouritism. Maguire, if he continues to start him next season, his job will be very short-lived. Caught out time after time yesterday and he can't cover spaces. I like Harry Maguire. I think he's fought through a lot. I hope he does go to the World Cup. But I'm telling you now, he'll be fine in international football. But in a back four for Manchester United, he was better off with Amrim in a back three. Same for Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw will get exposed at left back and Harry Maguire will get exposed in a back four. It feels like either we pay £100 million now for a good player or we pay £50 million for an average player, then have to pay £50 million for another average player next season, says Kez. Cheap costs you more in the long run, doesn't it? It does. It feels like that was a great point from Kesman. Anderson Stiller and Yarmolik, for me, fits our bill, says BHMUFC. And Dino says, hypothetically, if United could get given 200 million to spend in the summer and use 100 million on Anderson, that would mean they only have 100 million to buy two more midfielders, a new left back and a backup striker. And this is the problem, Dino, but that's what the previous point was about. So you wouldn't spend half your budget on Anderson because it wouldn't give as much left. But if you spend, if you don't buy Anderson and you buy cheap alternatives, you'll end up spending it again anyway. And I think we need to spend 300 million. I think everybody understands that. How quick do you want transfers wrapped up this window, says Stephen? Look, honestly, I would love Man United to sign six players before pre-season starts. But I accept that this summer transfer window, there is no pre-season. Like Bruno and co won't be back until the first week of August and the season starts 2 weeks later. We're not having a pre-season. It's why I didn't mind a World Cup manager getting the job, because there is no pre-season. We'll get pictures of Carrick and Holland at Carrington in the first 2 weeks of July, but the players they'll be training won't be first teamers. You know, it'll be reserves and people that didn't go to the World Cup. So I don't really care about pre-season in the sense that, you know, it's a World Cup year. And therefore, you're a hypocrite if you say you've got to get all your signings done for pre-season, because there'll be people we sign who are going to the World Cup. United might also go, let's not sign a player at the World Cup until after the World Cup in case they get injured. They might also go, let's not buy a player at the World Cup until after the World Cup because we don't have to pay their wages. So I completely get the fact that we are going to buy players in August. We are going to buy players without a pre-season, basically. And that's mainly to do with the World Cup. So United's normal tactic of buying late is actually going to be acceptable this year. But I think there are certain players you need to buy before. Now, somebody raised a very good point about 2 minutes ago, and it whizzed through, and I tried to pause the chat, but it went through. Why do you think we'd sign Elliot Anderson before the World Cup, considering he could get injured or we've got to start paying his wages? And the answer to that is because there's competition for Elliot Anderson. It might be a deal that can't get done till August. It might be a deal that goes all summer. But, and Nottingham Forest might want to wait till after the World Cup because his price might go up. But because of Man City, I think they'll want to get it done quickly. So I think it will get done before the World Cup. But if it was only us in the race, I think United would take till August because they would think, well, what if he gets injured and what we might, you know, we'd have to pay his wages. I remember Bale saying on the overlap that Zidane didn't do any coaching. He just relied on his top quality players. We need the best players possible, says Nick. And it's my daughter Navinit's birthday last Friday, belated, says Tarwin. Happy birthday to your daughter. Hope you had a good one. And Michael Murray says, Anderson, Stiller and Fernandez are my ideal top three midfielders. Plus, Mark, who do you dislike more, Vinny Jones or Suarez? Definitely Suarez. Definitely Suarez. Double D says, we only want to spend on players who commit to the club before any deal is done. How about we show our transfer targets, our commitment to them by getting the deal done? Get Anderson in now. And Inu says, by August, who will be left? Well, yeah, you're always going to be running against everybody else, aren't you? And it's who gets there first. Can't get the image of the perfect crosses into our box from Anderson. I pray we get him. To me, he's better than Tonali for his creativity, says Archer. Thank you very much for that. And did you hear the rumours that Mourinho wants Rashford for next season at Madrid? Do you think the rumours are true? And do you think he would go if Barcelona are hesitant about buying him, says Dino. I have not heard these rumours at all. The only thing I would say about that is that Mourinho made it very obvious that he wanted to get rid of two players when he was at the club and the board said no. And it could only have been Shaw, Rashford and Martial. I think it was Shaw and Martial. So maybe Mourinho did get on with Rashford. But a lot of people feel that Mourinho didn't want Rashford at Man United. So I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you. And I think as long as Rashford... Look, if Rashford can't go to Barcelona, he probably would go to Real Madrid, wouldn't he? I mean, who wouldn't? But look, ultimately, I think as long as Rashford gets to stay in Spain, everybody's happy, aren't they, on that one? Thank you for all the comments that are coming in, by the way. Let me move on. So next, just very quickly, I want to talk about this. I saw this last night, a little bit topical, right? So Manchester United's Bruno Fernandes has equaled the all-time Premier League assist record. Now, it was out there yesterday. What are your thoughts on this? Bruno has 20 assists. Only 8 have come from open play. Thierry Henry's 20 assists. 20, all 20 open play. Kevin De Bruyne's 20 assist record, 17 from open play. Mesut Ozil had 19 assists in one season, 14 from open play in one season, 18 from open play. And Frank Lampard had 18, 16 from open play. So a lot of people are saying Bruno's record is shit compared to everybody else because, you know, Henry, all 20 goals, all 20 assists from open play. De Bruyne, 17 from open play. Bruno Fernandes, 8 from open play. You know what I think about that? I mean, if Mbeumo and Amad and Dalot could finish, he'd have smashed the record and he'd have about 14 from open play anyway. So I just think at the end of the day, the rule is most assists in a season in the Premier League. And we can all get technical and we can all say Henry's was better and De Bruyne's was better. But the reality is the record book says 20 assists by Bruno Fernandes and next week it's going to say 21. Maybe 22, and he's going to be the all-time Premier League history maker. There is nothing there that says you don't get it or you get more if they're from open play. So all Bruno's got to do is get an assist next week and then the conversation's over anyway. Look, this season has been very unique. We've had a relatively interesting title race. We've had a relatively interesting relegation race. And we've had a relatively interesting race for, you know, fifth and sixth. But quality-wise, the Premier League's not been very good this year. And Bruno Fernandes stands head and shoulders above anybody else creatively. But you play the league you're in. There is no way, and this is where football IQ comes into it. In this Premier League season, there is no way any player is going to get 20 assists and get 16 in open play. Mo Salah may have done it a couple of years ago. It's not that type of league. I don't look at Bruno and go, oh, Bruno. I look at the Premier League and go, look at what you've done. Look at the previous years. You know, 20 assists for Henry, 20 in open play. 20 assists for De Bruyne, 17 in open play. Bruno, 20 assists, 8 in open play. That's not Bruno. That's the league. That's what the Premier League have allowed to happen to their own league. This league, this season, in my opinion, is crap. Quality-wise, it's crap. You know, you look at that last 15 minutes with Forest yesterday. It was entertaining. It was end-to-end. But most of the games we've seen this season are teams playing deep, slowing the game down, taking a minute to do a throw-in, taking 2 minutes to do a corner. I am not surprised that over half of Bruno's assists are coming from set pieces because that's the league we operate in now. When Henry was doing his thing and De Bruyne was doing his thing, I think the game was quicker. I think it was more open. But we have gone very, very strategic. The biggest growth market in football at the moment is Data Dean. He's minted. You know, it's all about long throw-ins, set pieces, slowing the game down. So don't blame Bruno. Blame the league. That's, as Greg, our producer, said, an assist is an assist. The record stands. Bruno Fernandes is not responsible for that. And I'm telling you now, you're not going to get anybody getting 15, 16, 17, 18 open play assists out of 20 in this league because it's not that type of league. You put Bruno in a PSG team, he will get 20 open play assists. You put him in a Barcelona team, he will get 20 open play assists. You put him in a Bayern Munich team, he'll get 20 open play assists. But in this league, how is it Bruno Fernandes' fault that in a league that is focused on slow football, stop-start football, set pieces and long throw-ins and corners, of course the majority of his assists are going to come from something that the league is. It's got nothing to do with him. It's got nothing to do with him at all. So, you know what? I think it's sour grapes. And, you know, all these Arsenal fans or Liverpool fans or Man City fans saying, ha ha, the record's not valid. Maybe look at your own football because you're a product of what the problem is in the Premier League. And look, if next season Cherki gets 20 assists and 20 from open play, I'll eat my shoes. But I think this is the way that football's being played at the moment. And the only way you're going to break an assist record is if you're good at set pieces and corners, because that's the biggest growth market in football at the moment. So I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ludicrous. Marlo says, if we're being honest, does Mbeumo and Cunha work in a Carrick system? In an ideal world, should they be replaced if the future is Ollie Ball? Well, I was asked, Marlo, to rank Cunha's season out of 10, and I think it's a 6. Now, some people might say a 7, some people might say a 5. I think it's an average 6, because I think under Amorim, there was moments of good and there was moments where he wasn't that good. But under Carrick, he's been playing out of position and there has been a couple of goals, but his general performances haven't been any better than a 6 for me. So I think Mbeumo's season, I'd like to give it a 7, but if I'm being honest, it probably is more a 6.5. Generous 7, you know, maybe a harsh 6. What that says to me is what's going to happen to him next season. Now, Mohamed wants to give Cunha a 7 or an 8. I think that's a joke. And I'm a massive fan of Cunha, but my concern is, a little bit like Marlowe, what's he going to be next season and why are we linked to Morgan Rodgers? Is he actually going to be part of the plans? I don't think we've seen the best of Cunha. I think when you look at Cunha at Wolves, he was incredible in the role that Bruno is. We need to get him more central. The goal for Mbeumo comes from the fact that Cunha's central and Bruno's out on the right yesterday. I think out on the left, you know, it's a square peg in a round hole, really. So I think with Cunha, for me, he's a Man United player. And he's a Man United player for the next few years. But do we have the system to get the best out of him? I don't know. With Mbeumo, I think he is a right winger and we play with a right winger. I think the future of Mbeumo is better than Cunha because his position is there. And, you know, for me, Ahmad is not the solution at the moment. For me, Ahmad's going backwards. You know, if you want me to give Ahmad a score out of 10 this season, it's a 5. He did reasonably well as a right wing back, but his output since Christmas has been really poor. So, you know, I'd give Ahmad a 5. Bruno, 9. Harry Maguire, 7.5. Casemiro, 8. You know, even Luke Shaw, you'd probably give him a 6.5. Delo would probably get a, well, no, let's not do Delo. But I think Mbeumo, I've got no problem with him. I just think he needs to play in his position. We spent £65 million on Mbeumo and we played him in his right wing position. Somebody said to me, this is, and look, Data Dean would have to check this for me. I can't, Mark, I'm on holiday at the moment. I've booked an absolutely brilliant deal by analysing multiple travel agent websites and flights. And I'm currently in the Maldives for £2.50, but I have to fly back tomorrow and it's only a 6-hour stay. But I think with regards to Mbeumo, we've spent £65 million on a guy that was scoring goals for fun at Brentford on the wing, and we've played him on the right wing less than 10% of the season.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I don't need Data Dean. He's on holiday. That, to me, is the issue. You spend £65 million on a right winger that was scoring goals for fun, and then you play him in his position less than 10% of the season. So I'm not worried about Mbeumo. I think we just need to play him in the position that we bought him from. With Cunha, I'd actually put Cunha up front. I'd rather see him centrally than on the wing anyway. I think he's got more about him. But look, I ain't worried about either of those players. I think they're good signings. I think there's been good points. And you know, obviously there's been points of the season where it's been challenging. But I think that, you know, they could have really good second seasons. They've had very challenging first seasons. I said this the other day. to come into a club where you sign for one manager in a system that suits you, and then him to be sacked at Christmas and go into a system that doesn't suit you, I think that's a very challenging first season at Man United, and I think they'll be better for it. Pengus says, I couldn't care less about the open play discussion. Bruno still had to put the ball into the spot for our guys to score on set pieces. If that's it, easy, every club taker would top the assist charts, says Pengus. Exactly. And also, I think we'd all be very naive if we didn't think that, you know, Bruno Fernandes would not have 20 assists if he was at Crystal Palace. The fact that he's got Harry Maguire and Casemiro, who are two of the best, if not the best, headers of the ball from a corner. I think only Van Dijk and Gabriel can compete with them. He's got two. And every assister is reliant on the person who gets on the end of it. As we saw yesterday, Mbeumo should have had a hat-trick and missed all three chances. So I think that having Casemiro and Maguire has been a huge part as to why Bruno Fernandes has broken that has equaled that record, and I think will break it. But you're right, you've still got to have the quality of ball. You can have Harry Maguire and Casemiro, but if you can't put the cross on their head, they won't happen either. Cunha at striker would be similar to Rooney, says JSD. I would like to see it. Nick says, morning mate, aside from the star signings this summer, the club has to find more gems, like Le Mans and Heaven to supplement the squad, I think. I mean, look, there's not a lot to be negative about in relation to Man United. But I've got to say, I'm a little bit disappointed that Aidan Heaven got no minutes again yesterday. I mean, it's a home game against Nottingham Forest that doesn't mean anything. And we were, you know, And I didn't bring him on, or Yoro. So I hope they play next week, because the brilliance of Le Mans is he's played every week and he's got better for it. We've seen Heaven play really well and then be ditched from the team completely for Maguire and Martinez, who are experienced players. I don't really, and they're both going to the World Cup. I mean, for me, it's the other way around. Maguire and Martinez should be on limited minutes, and Yoro and Heaven should be getting the minutes. But, you know, next season we'll have more games. So hopefully next season, with two games a week, we will see more of Heaven. But it's one to keep an eye on, because Carrick is one of the latest substitution managers in the league, and I don't think we've seen a lot of rotation because we've only been playing one game a week. So it's a watching brief to see how much he actually does rotate next season. Because Aidan Heaven's ready to play games. I mean, Martinez was fantastic yesterday. You know, you can't argue with that. But I do want to see Aidan Heaven developing. They're very important years for him. We can't loan them either. You can't loan them. Morning, mate. Thank you very much, Nick. Do you rate Evan Nielsen for United as a second striker, says Stretford Signal. You know what? The West Ham guy looked all right yesterday. Evan Nielsen looks all right for Bournemouth as well. I mean, I wouldn't be bothered by anything like that. You know, a Premier League proven striker who can come in and compete is fine by me, as long as it's not Solanke or Calvert-Lewin. We really need to pick wisely for a midfielder, says Owen. One bad mistake and it could set us back years. I think Man United are on a cliff edge. That's exciting. But I think we are on the edge of a cliff. I saw something this morning. I think it was Nathan Salt said 2020 United pull out all the stops, including meeting Cantona and Sir Alex to get Jude Bellingham. They fail. 2023 long-term target Declan Rice ends up at Arsenal. 2026 Elliot Anderson is the number one target for Man United's midfield. They cannot fail again. And it's true. Jude Bellingham was shown round Carrington and met Sir Alex, signs for Dortmund. Declan Rice was a long-term target, signs for Arsenal. Here we are again. Elliot Anderson, number one target all season. Can't be signing for Man City. You're not a serious club if you keep missing out on these types of players. But I do feel that we are on the cliff edge, because essentially, if it goes wrong with Carrick and it goes wrong with the summer transfer window, there is nowhere to hide. We're not responsible. They haven't listened to us. it's the board again. And they can't afford to get this wrong. There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of red flags. But they can't afford to get it wrong. I don't think anybody's going to go, oh, well, you took a chance and you got it wrong. Not anymore. If they get this right, United could finally start to build their way back. If they get this wrong, I just don't think we can go back and have another season where we're out of Europe. I don't think we can have another season where we're, you know, we're miles off the top four. I don't think we can have another season where the football's shit and, you know, we're getting turned over 5-0 by our rivals. Those days need to be over. We've had too many false dawns. We've had too many roller coasters. We've had too many, you know, I always say this, in the last 13 years, I haven't seen Man United play three games in a row well. Liverpool and Arsenal and Man City and Chelsea, you know, they'll be able to point loads of times they've done that. So we've got to start turning that tide. We cannot, it's not acceptable anymore for Man United to keep going up and down the mountain. Like, we've got to stabilise. We've got to start building. And that's the board's responsible for this. They're taking a risk on the coach, 100%. Don't take a risk on the summer signings. Don't set him up to fail. Because I tell you for free, if Carrick fails, it's on this board. And if Carrick fails, we ain't getting Luis Enrique. We ain't getting Thomas Tuchel. We ain't getting that type of a coach. If Carrick fails, we won't be in Europe again. And we will be looking at people who we refuse this time. You'll be looking at people like Marco Silva. You'll be looking at people like Ruben Amorim. You'll be looking at people like Glasner. You will not be looking at Ancelotti or Tuchel or Enrique because we won't have Champions League football. So this has to work. I don't think people think it through that if we sack Carrick, it will be because we're in shit. And if we're in the shit, we will not be able to get decent managers. We can't get decent managers now. It was a no from decent managers now, and we have Champions League football. Imagine what it'll be if we're not in Europe and we're sacking Carrick. I think it will be even worse. You know, all those managers that said no to us, we've got Champions League football. And they're saying no. Imagine what they're going to say if Carrick gets sacked and we don't have Champions League football. They're going to go, yeah, I really do not fancy that job. So it has to work this time. The only Andy ever says spend 100 million on Anderson, get it back when he helps qualify for the Champions League next summer. Yeah, I hope you're right on that one, mate. I really, really do. Let me just have a quick look at the chat. So, thoughts on a one-year deal for Lewandowski, and do you think we need another fullback?
He's an idiot.
Breathe.
Carrick's appointment is being muted as one for stability, says Patrick Lynch. Like you said, Mark, the board needs to front up and help create some stability with him. Recently, all they have done is make it less so. I don't think we're ever going to see it, Patrick, but what I despair about around this board is they're seen and not heard. You know, yesterday, Sir Jim Radcliffe's there, sat with Berada and Jason Wilcox doing an advert for the worst stag do in the world. I mean, they give off no enthusiasm. They give off no confidence. They are really uninspiring. But the only person that talks at Man United is the manager. And look, Michael Carrick's not the most inspiring person we've ever had in the manager's chair. So unless he gets better at that, that's a problem. But Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada and Sir Jim Radcliffe should be doing more. You know, they decided to sack a manager that was a three-year project after 12 months halfway through the season. They've decided to give it to an interim again. Where is their interview? Where is their direction? Like, it cannot always be the manager. We should have statements of, you know, direction coming out of the club. And we don't. We don't. If you think the number of chances Bruno created from open play... Derek says, if you think about the number of chances Bruno created from open play and if our players were more clinical, he could have had 25 to 30 assists. Exactly. Chances on Carrick getting sacked mid-season, says Sim. I mean, look, you know, I think it's unlikely because I don't think they will... I think evidence dictates the truth. And, you know, the only reason Amorim got sacked is because he sacked himself. He fell out with Wilcox to an extent where they couldn't work together. United didn't actually want to sack Amorim. They wanted to stick with him. But he refused to work, you know, with Wilcox, basically. So they sacked him. Michael Carrick is never going to do that. You can just tell it by his personality. He doesn't have that in him to fall out with Wilcox. So they'd have to sack him on results. But they weren't even close to sacking Amorim on results. So even if the results are bad, I think they'll stick with him. It just depends on, in that hypothetical, how bad the results get. Look, Liverpool desperately want to keep Arne Slot, but with every loss, it's making it harder for them to keep him. I think Carrick will be in post for at least 18 months, maybe two seasons. I think they've made a commitment that they're going to have to stick with, to be honest with you, because if they sack him, they basically sack themselves as well. Like, I think Carrick will be here for a long time, because if he gets sacked, I don't think Wilcox can sack him, because he's basically sacking himself. I don't think Berarda can sack him, because he's basically sacking himself. You know, in the time they've been there, they've backed Ten Hag and sacked him. They've backed Amorim and sacked him. They can't do it again, because there's only them to blame. So I think he's here. I agree with Savage. I think 2 years minimum. The scary thing, if it goes wrong, is what we have to put up with as fans. You know, how bad does it get? Because I think they will have to, and I think it's not a bad thing. I think every manager should be backed. You know, I don't think you should be sacking managers after 12 months. It's a joke. But I think they have to stick with him. I think this could be, you know, it for a long time. The scary thing is what other clubs do in that time. You know, if Alonso works out at Chelsea, if Liverpool get rid of Slot and bring a good manager in, and Arteta keeps doing well at Arsenal, and Man City replace Pep well, there's four clubs that could just say goodbye to us whilst we're fucking about. But look, hopefully Carrick can keep these results going next season. If it was me, I would rather put Cunha as an option up front with Sesko and get another left winger. That should cover our front line with injuries. Yes, Lemon Lover, I like the idea of that. Appreciate that. How are you here and you're on a video that got released on That's Football, says Maz Rawawi. It's called The Magic of Scheduling and Live, pal. That's what's going on there. There is a video just gone up about Mourinho on That's Football, which I recorded earlier. Here's one I recorded earlier. Just something coming out from Sky here. The performance of Elliot Anderson in United's win over Forest showed Carrick exactly why he should be the man to replace Casemiro. City lead the race for his signature as it stands. They also tried to sign Rice before he joined Arsenal. United should move heaven and earth to bring him to Old Trafford if they have ambitions of challenging again one day. I think I've heard that statement before, Sky Sports. United should move heaven and earth to bring him to Old Trafford. I think I heard a certain somebody say that 24 hours ago. Anyway, I agree. The England international is perhaps the closest you can get to a sure thing in the market since Arsenal paid £105 million to sign Declan Rice. I completely agree. Absolutely. Tom Heaton is going to get a new one-year contract with Man United. He's the third choice goalkeeper. Doesn't really matter. Oh, Sesko is set to miss the rest of the season. He's got a shin problem, and United are intelligently of a mind to let him have some rest and recuperation ahead of the season. Look, it's disappointing when a season is over for a player, but he is struggling with an injury. He's not going to the World Cup, and he essentially gets 6 weeks of recovery now. So I don't think that's a problem. Any thoughts on the handball yesterday? No. I'd rather just move on. Yeah. Okay, don't forget, 5 o'clock tonight, I am back on Baller League. It's the final week and we are the kingmakers. We can basically decide you get into the top four. We're doing a show at 7 o'clock tonight on the United Stand. I think Terry's back with that. I've got 2 o'clock show for you as well. Obviously, we'll react to any big news that comes out. We've just dropped a video on That's Football about Mourinho. Get onto that. Any truth with Mount being linked to Coventry's is one and only. Not unless Coventry have got 250 grand a week that want to play on players, which they haven't. Thank you everybody for watching. Stay safe, take care. I'll speak to you on the next one.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.